So I'm going to bring this part two of this message that was in my heart. I started last week, and I shared with you that it didn't go as planned. When I started out studying, I had something totally different in my mind. But as I studied, things began to, as I looked at the scripture, things began to change. And it's the same thing with this one. So I'm just looking at a few places in the scripture where God said no to someone and what the outcome of that no was. Now, to be clear, when we say no to God, that never ends well. Hey, look here. No. But when God says no to us, it's for a specific purpose and a reason. Last we looked at that it had to do with his eternal plan. It didn't fit with his eternal plan. So God told Abraham, no, Ishmael not going to work. It'll be the seed of your wife, Sarah, that I'm going to bless. It's going to be through the seed of her. Abraham didn't understand that God would bring Jesus Christ through Isaac's seed, not just any old Abraham's son, but through Isaac, the son of Sarah. Mm. God would bring his seed. So today we want to look at another one, and one that we know quite well when I mention it. Sometimes when you look at it, you say, wow, for real? You know, all of that. Yeah. Okay. So let's dig into it. I'm going to start with the text today. Deuteronomy chapter 3, starting verse 23, we read this. Then I pleaded with the Lord at that time. This is Moses speaking, saying, O Lord, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do anything like your works and your mighty deeds? I pray, let me cross over to see the good land beyond the Jordan, those pleasant mountains and Lebanon. Now, so this is in Deuteronomy. The offense happened in the book of Numbers, so we're going to go back. But this is Moses recounting to Israel what had happened to him when he and Aaron disobeyed the Lord and didn't do what the Lord said. And God said, because you have not believed me, you're not going to go into the land. You're not going to see this land. And Moses here is pleading with the Lord, said, but Lord, please, you've shown me all of this. I pray, let me cross over and see the land beyond the Jordan, those pleasant mountains and Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me, Moses goes on your account. And would not listen to me. No, the Lord listened to Moses in a great many things. When God was about to destroy the people, Moses interceded and God listened to him. But in this instance, he says, the Lord would not listen to me. So the Lord said to me, enough of that. Speak no more. There's the no. Speak no more to me of this matter. It's like a parent scolding a child. Say, I've made my decision. Keep quiet now. I don't want to hear any more of this. How many of you had your parents say that to you? So he says, enough of that. Speak no more to me of this matter. Then God says this, go up to the top of Pisgah and lift up your eyes to the west, to the north, to the south, and to the east. Behold it with your eyes, for you shall not cross over this Jordan. But command Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people and he shall cause them to inherit the land which you will see. So God's no to Moses. He says no to Moses, but then he tells him, but you can see it. You're not going to go in there, but you can see it. Now, to me, that's grace. I mean, He didn't have to show Moses the land at all, because Moses, we'll get to that in a second, Moses and Aaron disobeyed God. I mean, they literally did not do what he said. And Aaron didn't even get to see the land. Aaron died before Moses. He didn't even get to go to the mountain Pisgah and have his eyes opened by the Lord to see all the way over it. Now, physically, you can't see all this land, all that God showed Moses. You can't see that physically. No, God opened his eyes, caused him to see it. So, so what we see here is God says, again, in verse 27, go up to the top of Pisgah and behold it with your eyes. So God showed Moses what the next generation would inherit, but was not his to experience. In saying no to Moses, God used Moses to encourage Joshua, verse 28, but command Joshua, encourage him and strengthen him, God says. So Moses didn't get to go, but he got to see it. Let me say this for this current generation. Sometimes we are shown things that's not for us, but it's for the next generation. Moses was shown the land, but it was not for him to experience. It was for the next generation to experience. Joshua's generation. Hello. We see this in the New Testament when Simeon was walking around during the birth of Jesus. He comes into the temple, and why? Because it had been revealed to him by God. He says, the Lord had revealed to him by the Spirit, said, you will not die until you see the Lord's Christ. And Simeon comes into the temple, he sees the baby, and by the Spirit, he picks up the child and says, now let your servant depart, for I have seen the Lord's Christ. He saw it, but he didn't experience the ministry of Jesus. He saw what God had brought for that next generation, that Jesus would be raised up to speak to that generation. I remember Martin Luther King said, I may not get there with you, but I've been to the mountaintop and I've seen the promised land, he said. Get there with you. And he didn't. But he saw it. He saw it. That was when he was speaking in the I Have a Dream speech. He was seeing something that was not his to experience, but for the next generation to experience. Right? So God said no to Moses, but yes to Joshua. So even in saying no to God, no to Moses, even though it came out of Moses and Aaron's disobedience to God, God was going to use this time in Moses' life to glorify himself in Joshua and the generation of Israel that was to come. See, because when God says no, it's about his glory. It's about his glory. This is about the generational glory of God, for God was to be glorified through Israel, his people. We see here in Isaiah 44:23, sing, O heavens, for the Lord has done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, you mountains, O forest, and every tree in it. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. God is during this time in the Old Testament. The nation of Israel was the only nation that brought him glory, that he was glorifying himself in through the law, through the ceremonial law, all of the laws that he had given, the dietary laws, everything that he had given them, God was being glorified through it. But God isn't being glorified through Israel currently. Hello. Yeah. What, you know, people say Israel gone into Northern Lebanon, going into Lebanon, going after Hezbollah. Well, Israel's defending itself, right? But it's interesting that when Jesus said that Israel had forfeited the covenant because they rejected him, the covenant that God had with Israel, that ceased to be. And Jesus said, this is the new covenant in my blood. So those Jews who received him as Savior, they entered into the new covenant. And so Jesus is no longer, God is no longer being glorified through the nation of Israel, but according to Ephesians 3:21, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations. Jesus Christ is now being glorified in his church forever and ever. Church, which is Jew and Gentile, not just Jew. So God's not, he's not glorifying himself through the nation of Israel any longer. That stopped 2,000 years ago. Hello. No, he's being glorified through the church of Jesus Christ. No one generation will experience all of the glory of God. Why is that? Well, sin and death limits us to, for one thing, Hebrews 9:27 says that it has been appointed unto man to die once, and after that the judgment. Death precludes us from experiencing all the glory of God. All of us have an expiration date. All of us have an expiration date, and no one knows what it is. So let me go back and show you the two instances that the scripture mentions about Moses and Aaron. The first instance of their obedience is found in Exodus 17. I'll read it to you. Then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped in Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people contended with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. So Moses said to them, why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, why is it you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? These people were upset. They were angry. But even though they were in such a bad way, God, through his leaders, continued to have mercy upon his people. Moses would oftentimes intercede for people, and God would forgive the people. Now, there were times that God brought his wrath upon them as well, but he didn't do it to all. He didn't annihilate the whole nation. Right? So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, what shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me. Notice that God did not punish the people at this point. He simply provided for their needs through his ordained leadership. And so here is where we see God's instruction to Moses. And the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people. That's one. Take with you some of the elders of Israel, two. And also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river, and go, three and four, if you will. And behold, I will stand before you on the rock in Horeb. And you shall strike the rock. Now, let's be clear. The Lord standing there, when Moses struck the rock, God caused water to come out of the rock. It wasn't Moses striking the rock that caused water to come out of the rock. Moses striking the rock had to do with his obedience. And when he obeyed, God performed the miracle. Okay? That's how God is glorified through his leaders. When God's leaders obey, he does the miracle, and God is glorified. For everyone knows that striking the rock does not cause water to come out of a rock. So you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it. Again, when God's leaders obey him before his people, God is glorified. And this is what God had set up for them. And it goes on and says, and Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So he called the name of the place Massa and Meribah, because of the contention of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? So Moses, they obeyed the Lord, and the Lord did as they said. The second instance, however, in Numbers chapter 20, further along in their journey through the wilderness, we read this. Now, there was no water for the congregation to drink, so they gathered together against Moses and Aaron. And the people contended with Moses and spoke, saying, if only we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Why have you brought up the assembly of the Lord in this wilderness, that we and our animals should die here? And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? I mean, it was bad what these people were saying. It is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink. So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and they fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. So we're about to see what's going to happen. Now, you would think after all of these words that these people are saying against God's leadership, which they're saying against the Lord, they're tempting the Lord, God would just wipe them out. But the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod, one. You and your brother gather the congregation together, two. Number three, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Now, in the last instance, he was supposed to strike the rock, and water to come out. But this time he was to speak to the rock. Some commentators point to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I believe it is, where it says that that rock was Christ Jesus. The first time he struck it, that would be the crucifixion. The next time, you don't strike it again. We're not going to crucify Jesus afresh. You only have to speak. God wanted to show the people that God's leaders could simply speak and the miracle would come about. They didn't have to, he didn't have to strike the rock, right? Speak to the rock before their eyes. God wanted the people to see this. And it will yield this water. Thus shall you bring water for them out of the rock and give a drink to the congregation of the animals. So Moses took the rod, he obeyed, from before the Lord as he was commanded. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. They obeyed there. But then the third thing, God said, speak to the rock. But here in verse 10, and he said to them, hear now, you rebels. Must we bring water for you out of this rock? Moses started talking to the people. Instead of speaking to the rock, he started speaking to the people. You ever get upset with somebody? And you want to say a few words? And the Spirit said, no, just let it go. Just don't even, you know. Well, Moses, we know he had a history. You know, when he saw the Egyptian abusing a Hebrew man, he murdered the Egyptian when he was in Egypt. Moses had a problem with his temper. Yeah, he would get hot. He would get hot under the collar when Aaron and his sons didn't eat the sin offering in the book of Numbers. Moses got up so upset. He was yelling at Aaron and everything. And Aaron said something to him, and Moses saw how wrong he was, and he said, oh, okay, never mind. So Aaron, Moses and Aaron, they spoke harshly to God's people. Instead of speaking to the rock, they spoke to the people. Then Moses, then all of that speaking, one would imagine Moses gets emotional and now he's going to act out. And we read in verse 11, then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod. Do I have to do this? You know, it wasn't a little tap, tap. You can imagine. And Moses is upset. He's not just tapping the rock. He's striking the rock with his rod. And water came out abundantly in the congregation and their animals drank. So instead of speaking to the rock, Moses and Aaron spoke harshly to God's people and struck the rock twice, disobeying the Lord. Disobeying the Lord. Now, if Moses and Aaron had spoken to the rock, God would have been glorified and sanctified in responding to their voices before the people. They didn't speak to the rock. Next verse, in verse 12, then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, or to sanctify me, or to honor me, to set me apart as holy, to obey me, because you did not believe me to hallow me in their eyes, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. So God says, no, Moses, you and Aaron, you're not going into the land. Because they did not obey the Lord in speaking to the rock and instead striking it twice, did not honor and glorify the Lord. God made clear to them that they did not believe the Lord, or they would have obeyed the Lord fully in speaking to the rock. Now, even though they had done this, we see that the Lord blessed his people with water, even though Moses and Aaron disobeyed him. God brought water out of the rock, even though his leaders disobeyed him. And God can do that. God has done that. That doesn't mean it's going to go well for the leaders. Yeah. No, that means God wants to bless his people. God wanted to meet the needs of his people here and glorify and sanctify and show himself as holy in doing so. But the leaders communicated something to the people that wasn't the heart of God. Therefore, God said, no, you're not going to see You're not going to see the promised land. Go up to the top of Pisgah. Aaron would not see the land at all. Aaron died, like I said, before Moses on Mount Hor. He did not see the land at all. Their actions determine how far they could go in the purpose of God as leaders of God, leaders of God's people. It's interesting how many times God repeated this to Moses about the fact, Moses, you're not going into the land. Moses, you are not going into the land. So we read it again here in Deuteronomy chapter 32. There's only 34 chapters in the book of Deuteronomy. In here, we see God speaking to, telling Moses that you're going to go up on this mountain and die on the mountain which you will ascend. Now, it may seem harsh, but it isn't, because all of us are going to die. God was just telling Moses when and where he was going to die. And none of us know when or where we're going to die, but we know we're going to die, right? So it may seem harsh, but it isn't. And die on the mountain which you ascend and be gathered to your people, just as Aaron, your brother, died on Mount Hor and was gathered to his people. Why? Because you trespassed against me among the children of Israel at the waters of Meribah Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin, because you did not hallow me in the midst of the children of Israel. Yet, now here's the gracious part. Yet, you shall see the land before you. God did not have to show Moses the land. But here we see God's grace. Yet, you shall see the land before you. Though you shall not go there into the land which I'm giving to the children of Israel. So God was glorified as Moses, in seeing the land by a miracle of God, was able to command, encourage, and strengthen Joshua. We'll see that in a second. Strengthen Joshua as he led the people into the promised land. God said, Moses, you're not going to go because you disobeyed me, but my goodness is going to allow you to see it. You're going to allow you to see that which the next generation is going to experience. Right? Now, some may not see that as gracious. I see that as profoundly, extremely gracious of God. Why? Because God owes us nothing. God is a debtor to no man. He doesn't owe us our next breath. Period. Hello? And why are we all still here? Because God is.
Amen.
God is. Every day he wakes us up. Sinners. Every day he puts food on the table. Give us strength to go about our work. Keep us in our right mind. Oh. Every day, God's goodness, the goodness that the Bible says that the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Oh, yes, indeed. And we are the beneficiaries of his goodness. We experience the Lord's goodness all day long. That's why David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His plea shall continually be in my mouth. Amen. Amen. We are good. Okay, so when it hits you, it's hitting me. It's hitting me day by day. When it hits you, how good God is to you? Oh, it will blow your, it'll blow your stack. Because everywhere you look, you'll see the goodness of God. So to the older generation, that's us, that is allowed to see what the current generation can't see. Moses was seeing something Joshua, God didn't show this to Joshua. The older generation was allowed to see what the next generation couldn't see. God told Moses, encourage Joshua, strengthen Joshua, command Joshua. So let me say to the older generation, us today, don't beat down the younger generation. Don't discourage them. Don't say, well, it was better in our day and you people don't know. I don't know what's going to happen to y'all. Y'all look so up. Let me tell you something. God's got plans for this, for this next day. They're going to see things we didn't see. Amen. Amen. Yes, indeed. My grandmother wouldn't know what a cell phone was if she was looking at it. Why? Because her generation never saw a cell phone. Hello. The next generation is going to see things, they're going to experience things that maybe only we could think about. Maybe God, that God has shown us that is going to come, that he's going to bring to pass. Deuteronomy chapter 34, we read, then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo to the top of Pisgah, which is across from Jericho. And the Lord showed him this by a miracle. The Lord showed him. It didn't say, and he saw, Moses just had great vision, and he's, no. The Lord showed him all the land of Gilead, as far as Dan. Do you know, Dan was the northernmost point in Israel. Beersheba was the southernmost point. God showed Moses the land as far as Gilead. Gilead was on the opposite side of the Jordan. Gilead, as far as Dan, all of Naphtali and the land of Ephraim, Manasseh, all the land of Judah, that means they saw Beersheba, as far as the western sea, the south and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, this is the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses is seeing what God had promised the forefathers hundreds of years before. Huh? Hundreds of years. Abraham didn't even see all this land. He was told about it, but he didn't get to experience all of it. No, he didn't get to experience all of it. Saying, I will give to your descendants, I have caused you to see it with your eyes. But God says again, but you shall not go over there. Excuse me. You shall not cross over there. So, Moses represented the outgoing generation, which was allowed to see things to come. The outgoing generation is allowed to see things to come. I remember my grandfather, a Baptist pastor. I'm telling you, a Baptist pastor. He did his best. Amen. But granddaddy wasn't the happiest man to be around. Yet I remember on his deathbed, I was 11 years old. Granddaddy called me and my sisters into the room. And I walked around the side of the bed and my Baptist grandfather began to prophesy. He began to prophesy. Now we're all unsaved. We're unsaved. We're going to the Baptist church. But I didn't get saved until I was 19 years old. He was telling us things when I was 11. My Baptist grandfather began to prophesy. Then as he got closer to passing away, this man from the prior generation, he would call me, say, Pastor, come here. He called me into the room. He'd say, sit down. And he began to sing these old songs. I mean, he was singing songs that my mother's generation didn't know. Hello. He was singing some old and get to rocking. Rocking, and he'd sing a long time. And I'm thinking he about getting done. And I get up, walk away. He said, Sit down. Listen here. And I didn't understand then, but after I got saved, I understood what granddaddy was trying to do. He was trying to communicate something to me. Yeah. Because he would tell me. He'd tell me about the temptations that he had. He'd tell me how the older boys held him down on the ground and tried to pour liquor in his mouth. And he cut his t-shirt. He said, and they couldn't get me to drink because they wanted me to be like them. They wanted me to drink and get drunk. He said, people are going to do things like that to you. That's what he was communicating, you see. So here's someone from the older generation trying to communicate. And God said to Moses, hey, Moses, you're not going there. But I'm going to show it to you. When I show it to you, go and encourage Joshua. Hello. Encourage him, strengthen him, command him. Let me tell you something. This older generation, we older folks, as we grow older in age, we have something to give to this current generation. Hello. We have something to give. God did it through Moses. God did it through other people in the Old Testament. Why? A generation can only go so far. Moses only had so many years to live. As a matter of fact, Moses was 120 years old when he died. He wasn't going to live too much longer. And God said, what you've seen, use it to encourage and strengthen Joshua. God showed Moses what the next generation would inherit. He showed Moses what the next generation would inherit. And so Moses said again in Deuteronomy 1:37, the Lord also was angry with me for your sake, saying, even you shall not go in there. Joshua, the son of Nun, who stands before you, he shall go in there. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. So, we in this current generation, we are called to encourage the upcoming generation who stands before us. No, they are not perfect, but neither were we. Hello, neither were we. Lift them up. Don't hold them down. Don't discourage them, because God is going to glorify himself in that generation. And he's going to use them to glorify himself, those who were given to him, those who are given to him. We see this in the Old Testament, about the current, the former generation telling the next generation, hey, look, this is what God is going to do. We read over it all the time because it's all over the Bible. This account is Jacob. Now it's going to bless Joseph's two sons, Manasseh, the firstborn, Ephraim, the secondborn. And as Joseph is bringing them to Jacob, he has Manasseh on his left, Jacob's right, and he has Ephraim on his right, Jacob's left, because the firstborn is the one who gets the blessing. And so Jacob, when Joseph brought his sons Jacob to this, he switched his hands. Jacob knew something. He switched his hand, and he put his right hand on the secondborn's head, which was against tradition. What do you mean? Sometimes God does things which is against tradition. You mean God does things that shakes everything up? Do you know him? But, so Joseph said, not so, Father. Put your right hand on Manasseh's head. But Jacob, his father, refused and said, I know, my son, I know. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly, his younger brother shall be greater than he. Jacob is seeing something that Joseph cannot see. Joseph has no clue. Now, Joseph, he had prophetic dreams. He interpreted dreams prophetically and all that. But Joseph didn't know this. But his father, the former generation, was going to now inform Joseph about his children. Yes. So he blessed them that day, saying, by you Israel will bless, saying, may God make you as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And thus he set Ephraim before Manasseh. He set Ephraim before Manasseh. Joseph didn't know that this was the case until he didn't know that God was choosing the secondborn over the firstborn until Jacob told him. Now, but not only that, that wasn't the only thing. Verse 21, then Israel said to Joseph, now remember, Joseph came to Egypt. Joseph's prophetic dreams ended with him being second in command in Egypt. Well, Joseph is there. So that's all he knows. But look at what Jacob, now Israel, says. Then Israel said to Joseph, behold, I'm dying. But God will be with you and bring you back to the land of God. I don't know if Joseph knew that one. Jacob reminded, he told Joseph, I don't know if he was reminding him or if this was new to Joseph. He said, Joseph, God's going to bring you back to the land of your fathers. So don't get too comfortable in Egypt. Don't get too comfortable there. Look at another instance. After Joseph, got in Egypt, the Bible says, when his time came to die, it said in Hebrews 11:22, by faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. So Joseph told his generation, his children, Ephraim and Manasseh and the children of Israel, hey, don't get comfortable here. Egypt is not our home. This is not what God, this is only a temporary dwelling place. God is taking us back to Canaan. God is taking us to the land that he promised our fathers. So we see this older generation encouraging the future generation, the generation that's going to experience this, remember this, that God is going to take you back. But then we see also in the New Testament, Paul said in Acts chapter 24, I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in, not sparing the flock, will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years, I did not cease to warn every one of you night and day with tears. Paul saw something. Paul saw something coming. And he warned the next generation. He said, yeah, this is going to happen. You need to be ready. You need to watch for it. Okay? And you need to contend for the faith. Because people are going to be doing all kinds of things. Not only that was his generation, but that's including our day. That is including our day. Peter said somewhat the same thing. Yes, I think it is right. As long as I'm in this tent, he's speaking of his physical body. As long as I'm in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing shortly that I must put off my tent. A tent is a temporary dwelling place. Hello. It does not have foundations. It can blow away. The tent's gonna, you pack it up, move along. And Peter said, the time is short that I'm gonna pack up this tent and move off to my eternal dwelling place. Just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. You mean God showed some people to come? Yes, he does. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure you always, that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. Peter is saying, for the next generation, I'm going to make sure that I make it possible for you to remember this even after I'm long gone. Yeah, we have the book of 2 Peter. We have the book of 1 Peter, right? He did exactly what he said he was going to do. So God, in saying no to Moses, is glorified in Moses' preparation of Joshua to lead the next generation into the promises of God. God's no to one generation may very well be yes to the next generation. And then I'll end with this. Here we see Joshua. In Joshua chapter 5, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked. Behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. Joshua went up to him and said, are you for us or for our adversaries? So he said to him, no, or in the NIV, nay, or neither. I'm not for you or your adversaries. So he said, no, but as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. So as Moses had his encounter with the angel of the Lord, so Joshua has his encounter with the angel of the Lord. And what's interesting is that in preparation for this battle that was upcoming, the angel doesn't talk strategy to Moses. The angel doesn't talk, make sure you have enough of this, make sure you have enough of that. No, subordination, humility, obedience, which is right relationship to God, is required in the army of the Lord. And so the angel of the Lord says to him, take your sandals off your feet, because you need to know where it is, the place that you occupy, because that place is occupied by a holy God. Amen. And so I pray that the Lord would help us encourage the next generation with what he's shown us, that we don't bury it, that we don't say, no, we need to encourage this next generation so that God would take them where he has planned for them. Amen.
Amen.
Right. That's the teaching for today. Any questions or comments? Amen. All right. Well, thank you, everyone. My brother Carl, good to see you. Bless you, everyone. Thank you for coming on. We pray God's blessing over the balance of your day and your week. If you have a need, please don't hesitate to reach out and communicate, and we will keep you before the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
All right. God bless you. Bye-bye now.
God bless.